year that made me.
The year that made me.
The year that made me.
So this is when you get to meet a fascinating person and discover a moment in time when their life changed. Our guest this morning is an Australian living treasure, no less. She's been Australian of the Year, and for 6 years in a row, she was voted Most Trusted Australian. So, who is this trustworthy treasure?
My observation of myself and of others around me over the years has been that if you're happy, you're productive. If you get up in the morning and enjoy what you do, you're ahead of the game. And that's a privilege. And you shouldn't underestimate that. So my advice to my children is, you know, get yourself in a position that you get up in the morning, you really enjoy what you do.
And what Fiona Wood gets up in the morning to do is plastic and reconstructive surgery and looking after people as a burn specialist. Fiona Wood, welcome to The Year That Made Me.
Thank you very much.
Now, before we get on to your particular year, tell me, what's your fascination with skin?
It is interesting, isn't it? What motivates people and what sort of switches on their imagination? And it can be all sorts of different things. And trying to unravel and understand that is a real needle in a haystack. So I have absolutely no idea. But I do know I could talk for quite a long time. In fact, like one of my colleagues says, underwater with a mouth full of marbles about skin. So it really does interest me.
Well, you're famous for pioneering the use of spray-on skin, including for a number of those badly burnt in the Bali bombings in 2002. What was radical about the spray-on skin?
Basically, it's not skin in its entire structure, of course. It's skin cells. So we take skin from an individual and we harvest the engine room in their skin is a group of cells that have the capacity to keep growing. And they're the ones that we harvest and they're the ones we give back to you. And because we spray them on, we can cover a much larger area and it helps the healing. It sort of speeds up the healing. And by speeding up the healing, we get less scarring. And so that's sort of the in the nutshell.
Why does damaged, burnt skin scar, Fiona? Why doesn't it regenerate just like it was before?
Well, we have a great capacity to regenerate our, you know, cuts and bruises and bits of grazes, and of course that happens all the time, and we replace the skin surface every sort of 6 to 8 weeks. But it doesn't take much for that capacity to be overwhelmed, and that's when we start to heal by scarring. And people say all sorts of different things about why. Is it an evolutionary advantage to heal by scarring? From where I'm sitting, I would say no, because I see burns causing such aggressive, nasty scarring that compromises the way you move, not just how you look, of course. And so, but why burns causes that particularly aggressive response is something that, again, I could talk a long time about that, and I spent a long time trying to understand it. And at this point, there's no easy answer, I'm afraid.
So give us a clue, though, in terms of your own thinking about this. If it's perhaps not an evolutionary advantage, what might be a reason?
Well, I think scar is abnormal. And so I think it's abnormal in clearly, as we visually, from that perspective. But the chemistry of the scar is abnormal. Its architecture and the cells within it are not, they don't present a normal way of growing and of producing their function of producing the sort of the scar around them or the skin around them. So the cells are different, have changed, the architecture's changed and the chemistry's changed. I think that actually is tolerated by our body, and that tolerance has an impact on the immune system potentially, and that has an impact on the rest of our lives. In my headspace, I spend a lot of time trying to understand how we can therefore mitigate against it. And one of the things I'm particularly interested in exploring is how the role of the nervous system, that we can think ourselves and visualize in a way that we can possibly heal with a better shape. And I know that's a kind of a bit of an out there statement. Can we think ourselves whole? But can we actually use the plasticity of our brain, linking in with our nerves within the skin construct, and try and change the pattern of healing such that we don't get such aggressive scarring?
How informed are we, the general public, Fiona, when it comes to knowing what to do if you do burn yourself?
Well, that's interesting, because certainly after 2002, I saw people doing extraordinary things, and their knowledge of first aid, and certainly over my life as a doctor, you can see that people can actually influence the impact of an injury by a basic first aid knowledge. And so for over the last, probably more than a decade now, certainly a decade and a half, here we've been really teaching in the community, driving this first aid message as any opportunity. And the first aid message is, for everybody listening, if someone is burnt, you remove the clothing, you remove the source of heat, you protect yourself, of course, and then you, with clean, cool running water between 15 and 18 degrees, we can all change the health budget because we can actually reduce that injury, reduce the impact to that individual and to the whole of our community. So it's clean, cool running water between 15 and 18 degrees for 20 minutes. And so this message, we've been really spending a lot of time trying to communicate to our around into schools and sporting groups. And we've tracked in the children's hospital one piece of work where we now are sitting 65 to 70% of the children come in with first aid. That's a huge increase over the decade.
On RN Sunday Extra, this is The Year That Made Me. And our guest this morning is burn specialist and surgeon Fiona Wood. Now, Fiona Wood, you've nominated 2005 as the year that made you. That was when you were Australian of the Year. Is that what made you?
Well, I guess when asked what year, I thought, oh gosh, you know, that I have been very fortunate that I get up in the morning and enjoy what I do. And so from 1958 onwards, I've had some great years. But 2005 certainly stands out for me because we none of us know what's going to happen tomorrow, absolutely. Yet we have an element of planning and prediction, and you know, you go to school, you take science subjects, you go to university, and then you qualify as a doctor. And there's a sort of a path that you create opportunities along, but that has been trodden before, and so there's an element of predictability about it to a point. But then you get sideswiped by something from left field, and when I was asked if I would be Australian of the Year, I just thought, wow, you know, how can I do that? And I stood back from that and thought, well, I've got to really work hard to justify all the faith people are putting in me. I find it difficult. You can't put it in a box with anything else. It's in a box all by itself.
Well, in 2005, you also won, along with the scientist Marie Stoner, the Clunies Ross Award for contribution to medical science in Australia. What difference do awards and recognition make professionally to someone in your position?
I think that's a really interesting question, and I think certainly for me to be with on that stage with Marie that night, I have very clear memories of the night, and I had the good fortune I had my eldest boy with me at the dinner over in Melbourne and stuff, and it was a really special time because we'd worked really hard together. And it was, we were a bit agog, I guess. Like, whoa, you know, how did this happen to us again, you know? But it was really special. And it meant that people actually cared about what you did. And so the awards, whether it be the Tall Poppy or the Eureka Science or Prime Minister's Science, all these different things. And gosh, you know, like the big one, like we've got a number of Nobel Prize winners in Australia. Extraordinary folks who have made a huge difference on the world stage. But we need to know who they are, I guess. So I think it's really important.
Well, the song you've chosen, Fiona, is Iris, the Goo Goo Dolls' big hit. Tell us why.
This is quite frequently a song I bring to the fore because a long time ago, when my eldest daughter, who's now 27, was 11, she skated in an ice skating dance competition to this song. And what it reminds me of is we all have potential. We all have a capacity to do all sorts of things. But we're often fettered and often inhibited by our own inhibitions. And that day, she never skated like that before or since. She just lost herself. And so for me, it very much reminds me of all my children, but it also reminds me on a broader level of the capacity we all have to lose ourselves in the moment. So that's a lot of words for a song that may not make people think, well, goodness, why that? Why that particular song? But it's because on that particular day, I saw my little girl do something special. And so it reminds me of all those times I've seen not only my kids, other people's kids, and other people do things special.
You've given me goosebumps. Fiona Wood, a pleasure to have you join us for The Year That Made Me. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Amanda.
This is Sunday Extra with Amanda Smith here on RN.
And I give up forever to touch you, 'cause I know that you feel me somehow. You're the closest to heaven that I'll ever be, and I don't want to go home right now. And all I could taste is this moment, and all I can breathe is your life. And sooner